have your Bibles, I trust that you've been praying for us. Told a brother, Acts chapter 7. Told a brother earlier, when you hear people preach or you hear people sing, Lord, and the Spirit starts falling, you say, man, I want to preach, unless it's your turn. Then you say, Lord, just one more night. Just give me one more night. But we know that God has us here for a specific reason, has us here for a specific purpose, and I promise you this. May not be the best, but I promise you I'll follow the Lord. All I want to do is follow the Lord. Acts chapter 7. Well, bless God. Acts chapter 7. I want to start speaking and reading from verse 7. This is Stephen. He's addressing the Sanhedrin. And he's talking about the unbelief of Israel. And I'll just read this, and then if I can get started, Lord, I will. And the nation to whom they shall be in bondage will I judge, said God. And after that they shall come forth and serve me in this place. And he gave him the covenant of circumcision. And so Abraham begat Isaac and circumcised him the eighth day. And Isaac begat Jacob. And Jacob begat the 12 patriarchs. And the patriarchs moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt. And here's what I want to take my text. But God. Do you get that? But God. But God was with him. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity, Lord, to preach your holy word. God, I pray you anoint me, Lord, for a few moments. God, I thank you for your sweet spirit. God, I pray you move over the crowd, God. And Lord, what is preached and sung here, Lord, the next few days. God, I pray, Lord, it'll either convict or it'll bring victory, God. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. When you look at this text and you start looking at how the order of things happened and how God took Abraham out of his land and how he moved down through history, when you go to the passage of where they're talking about Joseph, it starts talking, and you know the story of Joseph, and that's where I want to take this whole thing to. But when you look at the story of Joseph, you look at all the troubles he went through. You look at all the trials he went through. But in this text, when he says, but God, everything changes. Do you notice that? Have you ever heard someone give a testimony and it sounded like everything was going to fall apart? Everything was bleak. Everything was coming down. But right at the end of the testimony, they'd say, but God. Every time you hear that, what does that mean? That means everything was hopeless, but when God got in the picture, bless God, business picked up. Well, bless the Lord. You say, well, how does this apply? I'll tell you, it applies to me personally. It applies to me personally. I got to be honest with you. And I told Mike, I went through probably 9 months of the worst time I've ever been in my life. But you know what I can say at the end of the day? But God. It didn't matter who liked me. It didn't matter who hated me. It didn't matter how hard I preached. It didn't matter who come to the altar. At the end of the day, I knew if I was doing my best, I could say, but God. And everything was going to be all right. I was having a time, I'm telling you. I went to him and he'll tell you. I said, I am so confused. I am so confused. I don't hear nothing from God. You ever been there? I sit there and I talk to him and I try and pray and I say, well, maybe I need to do something different. And so, what do you do? Well, you say, okay, I'm going to pray harder. Well, I'm going to change some things up. Well, I'm going to do this and well, I'm going to do that. And a lot of times that may work for you, but I'm going to tell you something. I went through 9 months of stubborn stupidity and it didn't work for me. I mean, plumb stupidity. And I sat there and, you know, I'm a young preacher and I said, you know, I don't know what, I've never been through something like this. I don't know how to handle something like this. And so I sat there one day and I couldn't focus. I couldn't do nothing. And I said, well, I'm going to start praying. So I'd start praying and I'd feel a little bit better. And I said, you know, no change. So I said, well, I'm going to go home for Christmas. So I went home and got the opportunity to preach. And it's amazing how God can save souls and things feel good. And then as soon as I got back in the car to come home, boy, it just hit me again. I said, my Lord, when's it going to end? So I went home and I prayed again and nothing. And then I came back down. I said, I'm going to go to camp meeting. I'm going to try and do something. And Brian got up and he preached, don't throw in the towel. I said, well, I never quit on you, Lord. Oh, you know me better than that. I can't quit on you, God. You've been so good to me. You've done so many things for me. God, I love you. I never quit on you. And so the next night, Cal got up. He said, what happens when they say no? I said, well, Lord, I've been told no so many times. But Lord, that don't bother me. And you know, I like getting answers from God, even if it's no. You know why? Because I know He still hears me. That's all right if He says no, isn't it? Because I know He's still communicating with me. I know we're in fellowship. So I got down to myself and I said, man, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do, Lord. Tell me, is it me? Is there something I'm doing? So I got into this thing and I started writing down. I started writing words that meant something special to me. And I said, Lord, I'm going to pray these until You give me something different. And this is what I wrote. Lord, I've searched and searched for a remedy to my problem. Lord, I've searched myself. Lord, I've searched my habits. Lord, I've searched my heart. Lord, You've called me to preach. And that's what I intend to do. And this is what I said the night before I got up and I started preaching. And boy, God broke loose. I said, God, I intend to do these things for You. And here's what it said. I got it wrote down. But God, if I fail, know that I'm failing for You. And it was in that instant that everything went away. It was in that instant when I said, but God, you know why that is? It's because I had tried to do everything else. I tried to do things on my own. But when I got to the place that I couldn't do it on my own, and I cried out to my Heavenly Father, and I said, but God, guess what happened? Bless God, He showed up. You're not going to steal God's glory. You're not going to steal His glory. If it had been remedied, or if it had been something I'd have prayed, or something I'd have preached, or something I'd have said, you know what I'd have thought? It's me. I'm all right. But when I got to the place where I couldn't go any farther, I said, oh, but God. And everything was all right. So with that in mind, I want to look at this fellow we were talking about here. I want to look at the life of Joseph. And when you look at the life of Joseph, it's a very familiar story. But the thing I like about Joseph is this. He was a dreamer, wasn't he? Well, I love dreaming. My son loves dreaming. He gets in trouble at school for it. But I love dreaming. And I love thinking about, well, I wonder what God's going to do here. And I wonder if God's going to do something here. I wonder how God's going to handle this situation. Or how God's going to handle that situation. But I love to dream about God. But that's what I like about Joseph. You know why? Because Joseph was a dreamer who never gave up hope. You look at the life and you can see that he never gave up hope. First of all, how did he not give up hope? Hope can help us, can't it? Listen, if we don't have hope, what do we have? We don't have anything. But what does hope do? Bless God, sometimes God will bless us in our hope by revealing things to us. He'll reveal things to you. God reveals things to give us hope. If you look in Genesis chapter 37, you see Joseph. He's a young boy. And you got to understand the background of this, man, because you got to put yourself in those brothers' shoes. He comes up and he they know he's the favorite, don't they? They know he's the favorite. But on top of that, he comes up and he's got this nice long coat on. Nice long coat that Daddy gave him. And that coat wasn't for anything else but wearing. He didn't need the coat. It was a sign of nobility. He was the leader. He was the chosen one. So that, you know, if you're one of the underlings and you're out working, he comes up in this robe and he don't work. Boy, wouldn't that make you a little bit upset? And then the Bible says in verse 4 of chapter 37 that they hated him. I mean, they hated him. But God revealed something to him, didn't he? And he comes to him and he said, hey, fellas, I pray thee listen to me. I had a dream. And here is what the dream is. The dream is we were all gathering sheaves. And when we were gathering sheaves, my sheaf stood up. And you guys encircled me. And your sheaves, what? Bowed down. Now they already hated him. They see the coat. And then he comes a little bit farther and says what he says. Now, I don't know if God told him to do it, but I'm not the smartest guy. But I know if somebody hates me, I'm not going to rub it in, are you? And I'll go a step further. You know that God reveals some things to you that he don't want you to reveal to somebody else? That's the best thing I've learned since I've been preaching. Some things are for me, and some things aren't for you. That's what I've learned. Sometimes you got to be quiet. Because why? Because a lot of times we want to brag. We want to brag. So to add fuel to the fire, what does he do? He comes back. Hey, fellas, guess what? I got another story for you. Had another dream. There was the sun and the moon and the stars. 11 of them. And every one of them bowed down to me. God had revealed something to him, and he revealed it to them. And guess what happens? They send him on his way. And listen, even they said Jacob rebuked him, didn't he? Jacob even rebuked him. But then when he didn't have a son no more, guess what was revealed to Jacob? The sins of the father fall to the son. Jacob used goat's hair. Jacob used a goat. What do the kids use? They use goat's blood. Fathers, be careful of what you do. Leaders of the home, be careful of what you say. Be careful what you're revealing to your children. Because the devil loves that, doesn't he? But it was revealed to them. And he was sent on his way. And you know he went to the pit, got sold, and boy, the revealing was over, wasn't it? They thought they were done with him. Has God ever revealed anything to you in your life? Boy, I was privileged to... We went to a little church that was run down. I mean, it wasn't even open anymore in West Virginia, in Potts Chapel. And my relative Randy, he said, we need to have a service there. And I said, well, okay. So we had a service there, and two people got saved, and I mean, had a great time. About 100-something people. I mean, out in the middle of nowhere. And that Sunday, I was privileged to preach at a little church up on a hill, and it was their homecoming day, and to be honest with you, and this is not bragging, this is not hiding nothing from nobody, after I left, they called me, and they said, well, we're looking for a pastor. And I said, well, no, I'm content where I am, it's okay, I really don't need to do that. Well, I went on vacation, and to make a long story short, while I'm on my vacation, I'm sitting there, and I get a phone call. And one of the deacons said, we want you to come down for a 3-day revival. And I knew what he was getting at. I knew where he was going with it. If you could say it, more or less, it was revealed to me, okay? It was revealed to me what they were... And then the whole time I'm sitting in Blue Ridge, Georgia, trying to take a vacation, I knew where this guy was going with it. And to be honest with you, I didn't want to waste their time. And everything inside of me, and tell me if you've been there, that I'm saying no. When he gets done telling me what he wants to say, I'm going to tell him no. And right at the end of it, guess what I said? I said, yes. And I just stood there. Lord, what are you doing? He hung up the phone. And for 30 minutes, this is the God's honest truth, I walked around and pounded on the ground saying, why? I wanted to say no. And God, you made me say yes. Lord, I don't want to hurt these people. So I went. And I was going to give it everything I got. Thursday night was great. Altars were full. Friday night was great. The altars were full. But Saturday morning, I was riding around out in the country. I was looking at where my grandparents lived and all the relatives lived. And I was just talking to God. And I said, Lord, why in the world did you bring me here? Lord, why in the world did you bring me here? And I got ready and I prayed. And I said, Lord, I don't understand it, but that's okay. That's all right. I'm just going to do my best for you. And so I got there, and guess who walked through the door? A relative of ours that had never accepted Christ as a Savior. And right then God said, that is why you're here. I bowed on my knees and I started crying. I said, oh God, forgive me. Lord, help me. God, if this is His night, Lord, let it be His night. Boy, I preached and I just went at it with everything I had. And I was preaching on how we hear God, but we never listen to Him. And you know, sometimes when you preach, I've never had it happen to me, but this time I was preaching it. And God said, get down right now while you're praying and start praying for Him. And I said, well, dear Lord, they're going to expect me to stand here while they are. He said, get down and pray. So I fall down on my knees. I said, God, please let Him come. And Lord, you should have heard the hollering and screaming. And old Uncle Jack come right down the center of the aisle.
And right then I said, oh God, I'll never doubt you again. You see, sin had had Jack. And Jack had a problem. And what he told me later was, he said, you know, I didn't think I could be saved. He said, I was angry at God because He took my brother and He didn't take me. And he said, I wasn't going to go to church. He said, but that time you preached at that little chapel, he said, I couldn't get it out of my head, Sean. And he said, I was sitting there and I was going to go somewhere else. He said, I started to put on my shoes. And he said, in the corner of the house was my son's shoes that he got saved in. And he said, I put them on. I said, if he got saved in them, I'm going to get saved in them. Well, bless God. Hey, we don't know, do we? We don't know, but we don't have to worry about it. Because in God's time, He'll reveal it. So we see we got to have hope in our revealing. Secondly, tonight, we got to have the reassurance sometimes, don't we? Well, everybody likes to be reassured. I love being reassured. I need it. God reassures us by giving us hope. Genesis chapter 48, we move a step forward now. And Joseph's in the palace. And his two boys are about to be blessed by Jacob. And the two boys come up. Jacob puts his hand on the younger one. Puts it on Ephraim. And Joseph comes over and says, No. He's not the oldest one. He's not the oldest one. It's Manasseh you need to put your hand on. He said, this is not the firstborn. And what did Jacob do right then? Took his hand and put it back on Ephraim. And he said, what did he do? He reassured him. I know it. He said, your oldest son, he will be remembered. But this one right here, he's going to be the one. What did he do? He reassured him, didn't he? He reassured him. He said, I know what I'm doing. I know what's going on here. I know what I'm doing. He reassured him. Have you ever needed something where you could be reassured? You know what reassures me? Testimonies. And I told our church yesterday, you know what I don't hear much anymore? Testimonies. You don't hear people get up anymore and talk about something that's happened the previous week. I'm not talking about years ago. I'm talking about the previous week. You say, well, what does that have to do with this? Listen, I need these times of reassuring. How do you get reassured? You know what I do? You know how I keep hope? Because I take a situation I'm in and I look back to a time where God brought me through. He took care of the situation. There's a fella at our church and he's a young Christian. And man, I mean, he don't know anything. I preached on the rich man and Lazarus. And after church, he texted me. You know what he said? He said, why didn't Lazarus just get up and get a job? Preachers, we need to remember that. You can get so deep that it just goes right over people's head. I've always found that the simplest things is Christ died for you. Do you want to get saved? That's where you say, hey, is that not hope? Is that not hope? But he told me that. And I was talking to him and he said, I just can't seem to beat this problem I'm having. And he'd go a day or two and he would be fine. And man, he'd just fall back. And then you know what he'd do? He'd come up to me, and man, he just looked so sad. And he looked so defeated. And he'd say, Sean, I failed. Sean, I failed. What do I do? You know what I did? I just reassured him. I said, you just hang in there, buddy. I'm praying for you. You just hang in there. I see something in you that's special. If you can't see it, it's all right. You know what I was doing? Just giving him hope. Just giving him hope. And I said, man, you need to start being faithful, first of all. Amen. You've got to be in the house of God. You can't learn anything sitting at home watching the filth on television. And I said, you've got to be here. You've got to get in that routine. So he started coming and he said, man, I hear you talk about all these testimonies. I need a testimony. I said, well, to have a testimony, what do you got to have? You got to have a test. So guess what happened? He come in, I don't know if it was a week Wednesday ago, and he was excited. He said, he closed the door. He said, I got to tell you something. I said, what? He said, you know the problem I was having. I said, yeah. He said, I think I got it beat. I said, okay. Now he's going to have to reassure me. Tell me what happened. This is wonderful. This is unbelievable. I went crazy. I even told Mike about it afterwards. He said, the guy called me, and I was going to go pick up some stuff. And he said, I was sitting there and I was driving. He said, and I had the money in my hand. Ooh. And he said, the guy wanted to meet me at Gant's Farm. Well, if you don't know where Gant's Farm is, it's right across from, guess where? Our church. So he turns on Home Road. And he said, I seen the car and I seen the cross. He said, I seen the car and I seen the cross. He said, I drove past and I started crying. He said, I turned around and I got to the light. And he said, I seen the car and I seen the cross. And he said, this is my chance to make a difference in my life. And he drove right by and he's never been back since. What are you talking about? I'll tell you what I'm talking about. When I've been in my lowest and I've felt like nothing, you know what reassures me? Bless God, the cross of Calvary. Well, bless the Lord. I seen this. I seen the guy and I seen the cross. He was reassured. Bless God, he reassured me. It's a testimony. Listen to me. You know what burns me up more than anything? It's when people sit there and call you for months on end and say, pray for me. I'm losing hope. Pray for me. I need your help. And boy, we're reassuring and we're praying and we're helping all we can. And God delivers them. And they've got a testimony of a trial they've been through where God has blessed them. And then guess what they do? They quit on Him. They quit on Him. You know what happens? After the test, Satan takes your focus off what God's done and puts you somewhere else. And you quit on God. Satan loves to change our focus, doesn't he? Tell you another thing he likes to do. When someone else is getting blessed, he likes to make you jealous. He's good at it too, isn't he? What did those boys do? They got jealous, didn't they? They took the focus off what he was telling them. And I'll be honest with you, I don't think he came arrogantly to them when he told them his dreams, did he? It said, hear me, I pray thee. Listen to me. But now, he's reassured by his father. And everything's smooth. His testimony's got him through. Listen, did you never hear and never see in Scripture anywhere where Joseph complained? Not a once. You think about where he's been. His brothers hated him. They threw him in a pit. They act like they murdered him. They lied, telling their father that he was dead. He's sold to some caravan. He goes in and he starts working for Potiphar and Potiphar's wife. He's thrown back in jail. Now he finds himself in the palace. How did he make it? Why did he not complain? It's the third reason I want to talk about, and I'll be done. He knew there was a reason. How do you get through a trial? How do you make it through? You know there's a reason. You know there's a reason for it all. Listen, the pillars of the faith that I look up to, how can they get through a day? Because they know there's a reason. There's a reason for it all. I just got to have faith and trust in God. You look at the reason. Look at the reasons why where you are today. Look at the reasons why where all of us are today. He looked at the reasons. Sitting there thinking to myself, I don't know if it was a month ago or 2 months ago. I'll tell you one thing when you preach, man, time just goes. I don't have a clue. But, and I hope I don't embarrass them, but Karen, my wife, come up to me one day and she said, did you hear the news? She said, Angie's going to have twins. And that's Brother Roger and Diane's daughter. And she said, isn't that great? And I said, well, that's great, but I got to be honest with you. For some time, I had my heart on Hoy. As God is my witness. And I'm happy for him. I was happy for him, boy. But for some reason, I think I emailed you that day. And for some reason, I started thinking about Hoy. And I said, Lord, he works so hard for you. God, he does so many things that people don't even see. God, I know you've blessed him with a healthy boy. But all of us have children. And of all the things they've ever wanted was a child. And he come up and he did a great job at our revival. And he fired me up and we got to talk and spend a couple days. And he was never down. But I just kept thinking, Lord, why? And last week I got an email. And the headline was, wow. So, of course, you read it. And it said, God gave us a miracle today. And Jody, I stood up and I started shouting. This is what I said. See, Joseph knew there was a reason. Joseph knew that there was a reason. See, he's a picture of Christ. And if you look at the picture of Christ, what happened to him? He had to go away and save the ones that tried to destroy his dreams. And I was sitting in my office, and I was studying this, and I started thinking to myself, and I started getting fired up. And I said, you know, for some time, I bet you the devil's been beating on him. You know, for some time, the devil's been beating on us. And for some time, the devil has been beating on our family and our friends. And I said, Lord, what's the reason? And listen, this is what he said in his email. We weren't expecting. We weren't trying anything. God gave us the miracle. What was the reason for it, Hoy? So God could get the glory. So God could get the glory. And I know he's beat on you, Jody. I know he has, but listen, I'm going to take a line from Joseph. Ye meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Listen, if you've got a family member that's struggling, if you've got someone that's hooked on something, all you got to do is cry out and say, but God. You don't have to worry about it in His time. He'll reveal it. You'll have your reassurance. And someday, maybe even when we're in heaven, we'll know the reason. They'll come and get a song. I'll end with this. Every year I say, well, I try and talk myself out of coming here, to be honest with you. I say, we got too much to do. It's hard preaching Sunday night and then coming that day. And I always try and talk myself out of it. But every year, it never fails. About a week before, guess what I do? I find a room and I come. And the thing is, and the reason is every time I've come, I've had a problem on the way. I pay a price. And I'm not talking about gas or food or a hotel. I'm talking about like the first year I came, I was sick as a dog. Second year I came, I got a flat tire. Last year I came, my son kicked the window out of our car. This year I thought I was good, but my wife just locked the keys in the truck. Thank you, Lord. If anything, I'm consistent. But I started thinking about it, and I said, no, I need to go. And you know why that is? God revealed something to me. Some of the best things that have happened in my life have happened because of this camp meeting. The best things that have happened in my life has been because of this place. The first year I got to come here, Mike was preaching, and man, it went all over me. And I said, I knew I need to do something different in my life. I don't know what he was preaching, but I know it was in me. And I started getting on fire for God. And then God started talking to me. And the best thing that I can tell you that happened is what I want to share with you. We was riding home, I think it would be 2 years now, from here on a Thursday morning. And we left early and I had my kids. And on the way home, I had a CD in, and Terry and Lisa and Leanne was singing a song. And the song says simply, "Do you love me? Would you save my soul? Do you care enough for one like me to make me whole?" So after every time that song was over, my little daughter sitting there, and she said, "Play it again, Dad." So I'd hit it again. Before long, she's singing it. "Play it again, Dad." As God is my witness, an hour and a half later, she was still saying, "Play it again, Dad." Now my wife's asleep. My boys, they're in and out. And all of a sudden she was singing, I mean at the top of her lungs. I was sending videos to Terry or Mom or whoever it was. And all of a sudden, I mean like that, she just stopped. And she kind of got this convicting look on her face. I said, "Sweetheart, what's the matter?" She said, "Daddy, are you going to heaven?"
"Yeah."
I said, "Yes, sweetheart, I'm going to heaven." Right about then, my son, he stood up and he said, "Emma, I'm going to heaven." He said, "Daddy, is Mommy going to heaven?" I said, "Yeah, she's going to heaven." My youngest one popped up and back. He said, "Emma, I'm going to heaven too."
Yeah.
And for the next 20 minutes, I sat there, watched in the rearview mirror as my 8-year-old boy led my daughter to the Lord. You know what my biggest fear was when I moved to Ohio? That the devil would get my children. But God, what happened in her life? Listen, it was revealed to her that she was a sinner. At the age of 4, it was revealed to her. And I tried to give her reassurance that if you accept Christ, but an 8-year-old boy did something that I couldn't do. An 8-year-old boy gave my little daughter hope. And now she sings for the Lord. But God, listen, guarantee you, there's some of you here. You've come this week looking for something to be revealed. You've come for reassurance. You've come for a reason. All I pray is this week you find that reassurance and you get that hope. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. God, I pray, Lord, if there's one, God, to hear this lost.